In Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 29, there's an interesting passage that I've often wondered, why does Mark tell us this? Mark, who is very concise, just kind of gives the basic details of something and rarely elaborates. And yet he includes this in the very first chapter. And then as I was going through this a while back when I was plotting out my sermons in advance, I was fascinated by it. I thought, why is this here? And then it began to click. So I'm going to share with you what began to click in my mind, and hopefully I'm doing justice to God's Word. But it's all about knowing Jesus, what we know of Jesus, and how that impacts us. So Mark 1, beginning in verse 29. Jesus has already been in the synagogue, and he's spoken there, and some people were annoyed with him, and he cast out evil spirit. But it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Those last few verses we've seen in all the various Gospels, that theme over and over again, Jesus performing miracles, casting out demons. But it's verses 29 through 31 that's the most peculiar. One, it mentions, Simon here was Peter's actual Hebrew name, Aramaic name. Peter is his, Greek version of his name, given to him by Jesus. But Jesus said, with four of his disciples, James and John, Peter and Andrew, they go to Peter's house. And notice, Peter was married. In fact, from what we know from Scripture, most, if not all, the apostles were married. And many of them took their wives with them when they went to their various ministry travels. But especially in Jerusalem, their wives were with them. That's one of the complaints that Paul had, because people were talking, giving him a hard time. He said, well, why can't I take a wife like the others do? But here we have clearly that Peter was married at this point, and his mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus healed her. So what's the big deal about that? Why is that even mentioned? Well, I think we look at the context, and we see it's having to do with the relationship with Jesus, of knowing Jesus. As soon as they were done in the synagogue, Jesus and his four disciples went to Peter's house. Why? Because they had a relationship. These men were following him just not to go around and witness all of his miracles and all of his teaching, but there was relationship there. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were Jesus' closest friends throughout. But Jesus had a relationship with them. They had a relationship with him. And so they were able to go to Peter's house to hang out, to relax, and to have dinner. Knowing Jesus is having a relationship with him, a comfortable relationship with him. He is the teacher. He is the authority. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. But he's made it possible for us to have a relationship with him, to be able to talk with him and relax with him. And I always think of David's Psalms, where David would write a psalm and he'd be praising God, and then he'd be condemning his enemies, and God, strike them dead, knock their teeth out. He does say that a time or two. And then he would go back praising God and trusting God. Point being that when you're comfortable with the Lord, knowing that he loves you and he's interested in you and he wants you to know him, you can talk to him about anything, about how you feel, what you're going through. And it's not accepting sin, but it's knowing that the Lord understands who we are, what we're going through, what our mistakes are, what our frailties are, And he's here to help us. But that help only comes if there's a relationship. You know, knowing the Word of God is one thing, but believing it and living it in relationship with Christ is another. And that's why there are so many books and so many variations throughout Christianity of what people believe and what they practice, because a lot of it's based upon what they read, what they think, and not really a relationship with Jesus. If we have that relationship with Jesus, we're going to listen to Him and want to be in a right relationship with Him. Not focused on being right with others, being right with Him. And if everybody's focused on being right with Him, we're going to be right with each other, because that's going to be the natural outflow. And so Jesus here is emphasized by Mark to show that Jesus was a personable Lord, a personable man who cared about His disciples and their families. And it's interesting that as Jesus goes, they're going there probably for dinner. Peter's family is probably there, but his mother-in-law is there, and presumably his wife. And she's sick. She's got a fever. So what does Jesus do? Well, of course, He heals her, gets rid of the fever. What did she do? She does what most moms do. She got busy in the kitchen preparing dinner. So she might have thought, well, why couldn't you wait till after dinner? But at any rate, she got up and she took care of, helped with the meal. A family setting. You know, our relationship with Christ is to be family oriented. The Lord is to be the center of our family gatherings. The Lord is to be the center of our own personal home. The Lord is to be the center when we gather together as families. There's a wedding coming up. Well, the Lord is the center of that. It's Memorial Day weekend. There's going to be family gatherings, cookouts. The Lord should be the center of that, especially for those who belong to the Lord. When we celebrate anything, birthdays, the Lord needs to be the center of that in our families. In any gathering, the Lord is the Lord of us all. And we don't leave Him out. We recognize His presence. And that's what makes life with the Lord special, knowing that He's included. He's with us in the times of celebration as well as the bad times. So Mark, in his way, points out the importance of Christ being in our family. And so knowing Jesus is comfortable and joyful. And it's family, the family of God. There's another way of knowing Jesus that is incomplete and therefore not lasting. That's where all the people, after sunset, heard that Jesus was at Peter's house, and so they all came and gathered outside the door. Everybody came from the town. They're outside wanting Jesus to come out and heal their diseases and get rid of the demons. And so Jesus did. He was the great healer. They all knew this. And so Jesus came out, and He healed everyone who came to Him, cast out the demons of those that were demon-possessed. But the problem is, what the people knew was, here's a guy to heal me. Here's a guy for me, what I want, what I need. I need to be healed. And that's all He is to me. And when we only know Jesus that way, what happens is, as we go through life and we only pray and only talk to Jesus when we're sick or when something's not going right. And so we call out to the Lord, to someone we don't really know personally. We just know that, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm in poor health, I'm going to pray. And how many times have you had other people who don't know the Lord very well or at all say, well, you're close to God, would you pray for me? Well, it's good, one, that they know you're close to God, but at the same time, it's a shame they don't know Him and therefore don't have a relationship. And why should God answer their prayer? Why should God answer our prayer on behalf of them? Because they've chosen not to know Him. Or maybe it's that they've not had the opportunity to really get to know Him, and now there's an open door for us to share who Jesus is and why they need Him. Most are not going to care and don't want to know. All they want is what Jesus can do for them. And that's as far as their knowledge goes. I know he can heal me if he wants to. And if he doesn't, well, then what good is he? And unfortunately, I've known people in the body of Christ over the years who have wandered away, rejected the Lord, rejected the church because, well, Jesus wasn't there for me. He didn't heal me. So what good is he? And that happens because they didn't really know him. They were just in the church because, well, it was comfortable. It's what they did. It was their tradition or whatever. But when they felt Jesus let them down, he wasn't the Jesus they wanted him to be, they left. And that happens because they did not know the full Jesus Christ. They did not know his love. They did not know his truth. And therefore, they only needed him or wanted him when they actually felt they needed him. And they did not have that relationship. But then there are those who were demon-possessed. He said he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. There are a number of times, even the verse just prior to this, a demon calls out, I know who you are. You know, you're the Messiah. And Jesus told him to be quiet because it was too early to let people know that. But the demons knew who he was and they were afraid of him. Afraid of him. Because they knew he could and would eventually destroy them. And they had to obey him no matter what. They had no choice. When Jesus said, leave this person, they had to leave. Because of who he is, his power. He is God. And as he was here, he was God in the flesh. They feared him because they themselves could not repent. And so there are many people like these demons who are afraid of God. I think that's one of the reasons, and a lot of times people don't want you to be praying in public. They don't want the mention of name of Jesus in public because they're afraid of him. Because their sin will not allow them to repent. I think that's what it comes down to. They don't want a relationship with Jesus and therefore they are opposed to Jesus. But the reality is that when it comes down to a face-to-face, Jesus always wins. And sin always fails. And like the demons, those who reject Jesus, don't want to hear it, don't want any part of Jesus, don't want to know him at all, will lose everything for eternity. They're not smart enough to truly fear God enough to repent. The demons could not repent. Their fate was already sealed. But for us human beings, Jesus is calling out in love, calling people to himself, repent, come and follow me. He wants this relationship like Peter, James, and John had with Jesus, like their families had with Jesus. He wants that with us. He wants that with anyone who will turn and repent, come back to him. But many only want what they want, and many don't want Jesus at all. And so they continually reject Jesus' call. Come judgment day, who is it who's going to enter into eternity with him? Well, it's not going to be those who reject him. They're going to be cast into hell along with all the demons and with Satan. It's not going to be those who only want God to be their little magic genie just to show up when they need him because they've not developed a relationship with him. There's nothing connected there. Jesus will say one day, why do you say, Lord, Lord, I don't know you. We don't have a relationship. I don't care what you say you've done. I don't know you. Meaning there's no relationship. But what will those who will go are those who have grown in that relationship with Jesus. We're not talking perfection. We're not talking even being religious. We're just talking about growing in our knowledge of God's Word, believing it, following it the best we can, trusting God's grace as we stumble along, believing him, and praying and talking with him and knowing he's in my life, he's in me, and he's the most important relationship I have. When we have that, then we have total confidence in what's coming. Didn't know all that was in those few verses, did you? But that's exactly the point I believe Mark is making. The question is, where is your knowledge of Jesus in this passage? Is it you don't want to know him? Or is it he's only there just when you think you need him in an emergency? Or do you know Jesus because you have this relationship? You're learning from his word. You're listening to him. You're praying with him. You recognize him in your life every day. Yeah. It's that ladder that we're striving for. To walk with Jesus every day. To know him and love him and appreciate him. Not just on Sunday morning when we meet around the table, but every day of our lives. That's pretty awesome. The opportunity to know Jesus. Well, I looked at the clock and we're done early. It's Dawn's fault. Because Dawn got through her lesson early. I got to blame someone, Dawn. But, you know, it's not too late. I have out on the church sign, you know, don't wait until you're gone. Don't wait until you're gone. If your relationship with Jesus isn't what you know it should be, it's not too late to change. It's not too late to commit to grow. All it takes is once we leave here, saying, Lord, I'm going to spend more time with you. I really want to know more what you say in your word. I really want to understand more my relationship with you. I want to grow. I want to learn. And you know what? Scripture says that God grants wisdom without stinting to those who ask him. And he will do that because he always keeps his word. Wherever you are, wherever I am in our relationship with the Lord, there's always room for growth and improvement, isn't there? So take advantage of the opportunity each and every day. Take time, no matter what you're going through, take time to go outside, look at the clouds, look at the trees, look at the flowers, and talk to God and praise him for how awesome he is and that you have this moment to enjoy it. As you're working, and you're dealing with all the chaos, just thank God that he is your source of comfort and peace. That doesn't have to rely upon what's going on around you. Stop and think about the things that you're concerned about, the people you're concerned about, and talk to God about them. And allow God to give you peace of mind and heart. Because that's what he's promised. When we pray to him about anything and everything, he comforts our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And if we've not experienced that, it's not too late to experience it. Because it's what God will do for you. Right now, we're going to sing a song called You Are My All in All. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. Seeking you is a precious jewel, Lord. To give up, I'd be a fool. Now, I've been amazed how I know Deanna wasn't quite sure where I was going with all of this and what little I sent her. But she always seems to pick out really songs that go well. And we all want to say, don't we? What we're going to be singing, Lord, you are my all in all. And thank you for the privilege of that being true in my life. Let's stand together, shall we?